that Jesus is mine.
That is the wonderful and incomparable Shirley Caesar hymn, Blessed Assurance. One of the most favorite songs of the late great Cicely Tyson, as well as her mother, Frederica. And with a heavy heart, I'm still feeling some kind of way about her recent death on January 28th. She was a wise and wizened age of 96, but you couldn't tell it. I had just been listening to her story on her recently released memoir, Just As I Am. Amazing life, assured life, gotten so far, she outlived all of her great friends, and she's seen the world rotate many, many moons. But she was still here, and she's sharing her word with us. I could only hope to be and live a life a tenth of what she did and what impact that she left. And this is my tribute to her, the late, great Cicely Tyson. May she rest in power.
That's what it is in my life. Visions of rapture. Look at it bursting on my sight.
Mr. Joe Sample, in his celebrated album, wrote Less Travel. And this is your podcaster. Tenfro is reading, and I'm podcasting this Sunday morning, listening to smooth jazz for my Over 40 and Unapologetically Nerdy podcast. It has taken me a while to create this. It's not like I've not had a source or a fund of content. It's just, it's taken me a minute to get up the, I don't know, the strength or the energy to be able to put it all together. But I think I've actually put together some great content for this show with, I'll be talking about the Kepler Project that was retired in 2018. It's given us some beautiful pictures and inspiration for artist renditions of worlds beyond ours. You'll see a big old nerd playing video games. Star Trek Timelines is a very simple video game that I had downloaded probably a year ago and hadn't played really much until recently. I'll be talking about the ships of Star Trek, more Star Trek lore, the books of Star Trek, as well as Deep Space Nine. And I hope you will enjoy the content, and thank you for listening. It makes sense that I use music from the Best of Star Trek, a 30th anniversary, from the 30th anniversary special. It actually was released in 1980, I believe. It's most of the music from the original original series, movies, specifics, episodes, as well as all of the spinoffs. And I'm just in that kind of mood where I'm just wanting to have, like, my own soundtrack as I talk about each individual section. In particular, this section itself is, it makes sense because a lot of what we have been exposed to and the contributions of science through the NASA program is absolutely apropos for the time. I realized, like, even in a lot of my space games and a lot of the later spin-offs for Star Trek, DS9, as well as Discovery, is probably based on some of the observations from the rich content that we now know from missions like Kepler. Kepler was a 9-year mission, and I think I highlighted some of the artist renditions in the blog notes, but this was a 9-year mission where they sought out to collect information from deep space, and it did finally reveal that our night sky was filled with billions of hidden planets. There, in fact, are more planets than there are stars. When it basically ran out of fuel to further its operations, NASA basically decided to shelve it and retire it. It left a legacy of over 2,600 planets discovered outside of our solar system, and its contributions to science and astrophysics cannot be underestimated. And this just made me think about, are there any books as far as specific books about that have been published about the mission itself, or has the information just been infused in the updates of astrophysics and of other books? So I'm wondering, I'll be looking that up probably in the next couple of weeks to see if I need to add these types of additions to Chatterbooks. But I also think about how the descriptions or the pictures are so detailed about, and the artists are so talented to be able to translate the details of the description of the gaseous clouds and using refraction to give details about the terrain and just the topography of all of these beautiful planets. And I've only included two of the 2,600 in the blog notes, but I want you to check it out. It is, one, it's so realistic, especially the Kepler 22b, that I'm wondering if this was, it looks very, very similar to some of the planets that we've seen in the last season of Star Trek Discovery, as well as renditions of when they flew back to Earth and space dock, how the Earth actually looks, etc. Just from the descriptions and the use of color and their imaginations to be able to give these wonderful paintings. I also included liftoff of the original telescope into space back in 2009. It was a night mission down at Cape Canaveral, and in itself it is a brilliant and wonderful sight. I remember back in 92 in the shuttle missions and how we were 5 miles away witnessing the launches, and I remember praying that it wouldn't take that opportunity to explode like Challenger had. But also, I was just enthralled about the sheer power, how even 5 miles away, you could feel the liftoff, the rockets as they fired up, shaking deep within your bones. It was absolutely amazing. Probably one of the coolest things that I've ever witnessed in my life. And even though you may think personally that Elon Musk is a garbage human being and he's on the autistic spectrum. It really doesn't matter that one, I'm glad that this autistic person, one person, used their wealth to further the space program, because with missions like Kepler, there are more missions like this waiting to be discovered. We're just trying to get back to the moon and to Mars. But just the wealth of information and contribution to science and the advancement of the human race, it cannot be immeasurable. I don't think it's a waste of money. I don't think that knowledge and the acquisition of knowledge is never a waste. I think we will lose the momentum if we were to succumb to isolationism and thinking that we should have other motives and et cetera in the furtherance of science. Yes, he's probably going to make a grip. But at the same time, the contributions of science cannot be underestimated. We know from the Kepler mission, there are 2,600 other planets waiting to be discovered that we can only look at through magnified by pipe, and have these artist renditions. But what if we did have the opportunity to visit these other worlds, these exoplanets that could actually support life? And what if they are, in fact, intelligent? That is what blows my mind, because I'm very, very interested in knowing if there are extraterrestrials. Are they as interested in us as we seem to be of them? And what would be the problem with having other species? Are we so arrogant to think that we are the only ones here? And why wouldn't we want to discover them? Not every race is wants to conquer. There are probably races of people that just want to know and to explore and to discover and maybe want to befriend us. Wow. If we could keep it just that basic, I think the problems that ail us are actually out there waiting to be discovered. And we can't skimp on science as it were now, because we'll miss it by being closed-minded and just absolutely ridiculous. And I'm going to leave you with this little Klingon ditty, suit from the heart of glory, a Klingon's feelings. Yeah, it's kind of depressing. What about next gen? Let's try that. This is by Jerry Goldsmith, the best of Star Trek, with Alexander Courage and Dennis McCarthy. And this is a great lead-in, because in this next section, I'll be talking to you guys about Star Trek Online.
Saturday playing a pretty cool game that I had forgotten that I had downloaded way in the beginning of the panorama. And this goes back to Xbox and me making good use of my Windows device. And it's called Star Trek Timelines. I have to still figure out how to be able to play Star Trek Online from my computer because I was watching a movie at the same time. But as you can see, I do have my Xbox controller that it is hooked up to my Bluetooth connected to my computer, but I'm not really playing that because I start playing this game. It's so simple. You basically get awards or rewarded for completing missions. It doesn't require you to be a coder. It doesn't require you to be able to have some skill and eye-hand coordination to shoot them up. You basically click two buttons and then boom. So in this particular one, and of course I like the graphics, but in this particular one, I as you can see, I have to get something going on with Jean-Luc Picard, and it says basically it's not surprising to see how many of you are taking advantage of this crisis for your own personal gain. We've received reports of a Cardassian ship setting up a minefield to catch any ships that appear as a result of the anomaly, whether sanctioned or not. They must be stopped. And if you know anything about Star Trek, this is one of the main characters. This is Captain Jean-Luc Picard, one of, just like Captain Kirk, one of the greatest captains in the Star Trek verse. This is when it's about 20 years ago, but he's one of the next gen characters. So if you enter the space battle, you basically get access to this Cardassian ship and this galaxy class ship, and booyah, and here we go. And I'm not gonna skip it, because I think this is me. And I'm not sure, because the guy's auto is off, and you get all of these. Guess I won. And then you basically win all of these awards and you get to level up. This will come in handy as I try to win other levels. And I have had some difficulty investigating Commander Saru's because there's someone is basically messing with his people on Kelpien, but I've been unable to put together the proper crew to kick their butts. But I'm hoping with these level ups it'll actually allow me to basically complete my daily missions as well as help Saru out. But let's just, because there's only this one, there's only three more in this daily mission, so let's just do it. And of course this has to do with Q. I don't have to click on any of those. These are the potential. And this is really cool because it basically tells you who you should it's normal difficulty level. You should pick your away team based on the characteristics. For example, this chick, let's see, a marksman. She is becoming more and more helpful. Let's see, explorer, archaeologist. I even got 7 on my team. I think that's pretty cool. She's Marquis Saboteur. She's gonna be helpful. And I need an android. Where's data when you need them? All right, let's do this and see if I got enough. And it's cool when you click on, but she's actually a better. Defuse the bomb. That'll come in helpful. Next. Because you basically match the skill of the crew to what the duties are on the mission. And that's actually what a captain should do, or any team leader should do when you think about it. There's a lot of great crew members on this mission. And I'm glad I actually chose to do it. It feels good to finally be good at something, right? See, I'm probably not going to be able to, because I probably should have chosen the doctor. Actually kind of cool. I'm glad I actually finished that one. And this Poe character is becoming a better, even a more proficient engineer than the Borg, but I wouldn't trust her though, for real. And of course, it is frozen. I've been playing all day and now it freezes up. What is going on? That's why sometimes I hate this computer. It has a freaking mind of its own. Really? It's 2 days. Come on, dude, for real. So I have to reboot this and probably start it all over again. But that's basically the gist of the game. It goes to... you get to do all of these missions, and then you can basically get all of the different prizes which will assist you in your next mission or different parts of the game. And I'm not able to demonstrate that because the game is frozen, so I'm going to close it out. And this is where I'm going to end this part of the podcast. So after fussing for a minute, I backed out, and then I'm going back into my daily missions. I did space battles, so I get that. Achievements, get some more credits, and train a crew member. I get those credits. So I'm going to get out of that, get back to the galaxy map, and see, I got like 6 more, start a voyage. Huh. So I get to select a ship. Is that the only one I get? Who do I want to be my first officer? Why pick somebody that could actually be the lead? God, I hate picking this white boy, but there you go. I'm gonna pick him. I'm gonna pick Cisco.
Could be our only hope.
And then the tactician, who has that high score, 21, 22, 23, 32, 36, really? 37, 45. Oh, ha ha. Yeah. The communications officer, I pick her. The diplomat is him. Actually, pick her.
Understood.
Chief Science Officer, him, his sister, nope. Chief Medical Officer, I like
this
a whole lot. And the ship's counselor is Dax. So, I had no idea this was actually a part of it. And yes, I picked Lieutenant, the only other black chick on the original Star Trek series. This is the... Oh, froze not in a way. The U
SS Bubba Truck. Ah!
There we go. Avoid hazards, track process, and I get awards. Great. I've assigned some of our keenest science officers to the Bubba Truck as we begin our voyage. Great. So what does this mean? Heck if I know. This is kind of wild because basically it's just like a storyline. It's like just an ever-ending Instagram, and you read a lot and don't care. So I'm gonna get out of here and I'm gonna get back into these and just work through my daily missions. How about that? So this is actually, this looks like a Klingon warship. So I'm gonna, that's true. Great, fantastic. So, Worf, of course, is Klingon, bird of prey. One of his commanders gone rogue. They're using their bird of prey to hunt Federation's vessels, and you got to stop them. So, I'm getting in this battle. Don't really know what I'm doing, but here we go. So, I'm on the left. This is my ship. And all I'm supposed to do is fight. I'm okay with that.
Fortune favors the bold.
And I'm basically, which is rare, that I would be able, a lone ship, a Federation ship, would be able to kick the butt of a Klingon bird of prey. How crazy is that? And when I went on auto, it only took me 20 seconds to beat him, so I'm pretty happy about that. Don't want to do this one. Yeah, sure. It'll be my last one. And I think the whole premise of this particular game is to work your way through each one of the missions before you move on to other things, because that'll give you rewards when you actually do. Let me back up. That'll give you rewards when you actually have to do these particular types of missions. So I need an android. Oops. But I can't assign anybody. So I basically, here we go. She's resourceful and crafty. Romulan. I ain't got no Romulan. I'm sitting here tripped out. Nope. Because none of these, so I have to go back to do I get back? Interesting. Have no idea how to play that. So I need to figure out how I can release my crew so I can basically use
which
them.
Which means a war could be our only hope.
Because what I found, though, even though I don't want him to be that necessary, I have to. Okay, I think I did release them, so let's go back to not that one. Let's see if it'll let me do it this time. Neutral zone, Romulans, we gotta stop them. Even though in the Star Trek verse, their world has been destroyed. And they have, because of the nebula and supernova, the sun went supernova, and how, and they've actually now. And how they've now joined back because the Vulcans and the Romulans are actually one and the same. So how cool is that? And this is like the premise of the game. You basically create your away team with the skills that they tell you, and then you actually can be successful in these missions. It's pretty cool. Because I think I need Tom an android astrophysicist. Chick, I like her a lot. Let's see if this will work. Really? What I'm thinking, maybe Paris 7.
Understood.
And Cisco?
It'll be fun.
Try this again. And it kills me that Tom Paris has a higher diplomatic standing than Cisco, and I don't know what I did in the beginning of the game to make that happen.
I will comply.
It is time. Somebody with scientific 36, both data and 7. Stamets is 37. Even Saru is 37. All of them are higher. But what does Saru offer? Seven is 38, and she also has higher.
I will adapt.
And Data, I need somebody I can fight.
It'll be fun.
No, damn it. I'm not going to be able to finish it because... it's a Marquee Raider. I wish I... I need to equip my crew.
I'm going to. I may need a doctor.
And I just keep, I'll just start over if I can't. See, it ain't stupid. It's just that. None of these fools. Helpful. I have to go back. What is going on? Very simple enough. Crew.
Understood.
Do I upgrade her? Level up. Engineering in 38. So it looks like the regular,
understood.
7 may be more helpful. science, diplomacy. No. Maverick. He can't fight, though. He's a telepath.
Vulcans never bluff.
And Tom, he's at the top. Try that. Try this again. And regular.
Acknowledged.
It's really weird to, I guess, to have regular Borg and
acknowledged,
because they have two different types of things or skill sets. And as Seven of Nine returns to more the human Borg, that's the crazy thing. Seriously? Not gonna work either. I just wasted a whole bunch of level ups on homegirl. That's annoying. Why not? Absolutely have geneticist, Vulcan, empath. Maybe I have a trill. I thought I had a trill.
Tried to warn you.
No, she's not. My bad. She is not.
Vulcans never bluff.
And none of these motherfuckers can fight. That's the thing that kills me. I really need Sisko. And I need the doctor. This sucks. That have the best, like, from diplomacy.
I'm going to. I may need a doctor.
Sisko.
Which means a war.
And Poe.
Could be our only hope.
Kinda do it. You know? Basically level all of them up. I don't know how to do that. Damn it. And this is another one, too, where you can send them on away missions, and then they can actually, it's a different way to level them up unless they're already maxed out. Like, for example, I'm going to use her.
Which means a war could be our only hope.
And I'll just burn them. Yeah, no. Take that away. Take it away. Nope, not ruthless enough. Absolutely not ruthless enough.
Acknowledged.
Nope. How about regular
war? I will comply.
Nope. Nope.
I'm going to. I may need a doctor.
You surely are not. These people are helpful. Maybe it's because of them too. How about let's try this? How about not gonna use her. She's not gonna help with my ability to win the why would I use these people if my likelihood of success is not like her for some reason? Her seven. Just as an aside note, Burnham and Detmer are on the USS Discovery. They're actually good friends, her and the Nigerian, also lieutenant. They're both, Detmer is the female pilot. I don't know where this character Poe comes from. She's Bajoran, but I've never seen her actually on DS9 or remember her from any of the episodes from Star Trek. Deep Space Nine, so go figure. I'm going to use one of my dilithium to basically speed up. Am I successful? Yes. Because I get Fireside Stories, I get some more power-ups, that's pretty cool. And yes, when you basically use, and they are successful, that is how you basically increase, I guess it seems like it increases the standing of the individual characters. So he's actually already on the mission. I don't really want to use him that much. I do like her. And crap. That sucks ass. Can't stand him. He's just like the Bashir character.
I'm going to.
He makes me mad. And it also kind of forces you to use the least likely character. So what I'm thinking is whoever created this particular game, they were obviously really into this minor character, Tom Paris. Blows my mind.
Vulcans never bluff.
Can't even get a Vulcan up in that piece. Let me take her out and see if that would make a difference. Baytor, nope. Only 18% positive if I actually, wow. Okay. I'll do that all day long. So I have to have him on in order to basically win the, or to have success in the away mission. I have to select people that I really don't want to select. And they basically acquire schematics. Basic awards. I get to spin the Dabo wheel. And I get Spock if I win. And nope. Let's see. Orion Syndicate. I'm not getting Brashear. So, what is this? Oh, I get a recoupler. Great. Engineering device. Whole Star Trek world. It's kind of crazy. Included is the games. Ugh. Okay. She's only one above Tom Paris, Poe. And somebody that can fight more than Sisko. I can't have him because I have to have...
I'm going to. I may need a doctor.
still need the kelp beam, right? And none of them can... Shit. He can kind of fight, but not really. Cisco.
Which ends a war.
Can't.
Could be our only.
Nope. Damn it. Nah. Oops. And what kills me is the Klingon vessel would never turn his back to Starfleet. So, again, I don't understand how they played it. So, there you go. Has never suffered such a blow. I will see. Now, revenge. You can join the battle. None of them. Shit. Alright. I'm gonna try this one more time, and then I'm gonna have to order food because I'm starving. Let's see. Definitely this dude. And then, Cisco?
I'm not Picard.
Maybe. They're all wimps. And that's where I'm going to end this section. I'm hungry. A little hangry too. So after fussing for a minute, I backed out. And then I'm going back into my daily missions. I did space battles. So I get that. Achievements. Get some more credits. And train a crew member. I get those credits. So I'm going to get out of that, get back to the galaxy map, and see. I got like 6 more. Start a voyage. Huh. So I get to select a ship. Is that the only one I get? Who do I want to be my first officer? Why pick somebody that could actually be the lead? I hate picking this white boy, but there you go. I ain't gonna pick him. I'm gonna pick Cisco.
Could be our only hope.
And then the tactician, who has that high score, 21, 22. 23, 32, 36, really? 37, 45. Oh, haha, yeah. The communications officer. I pick her. The diplomat is him. Actually,
understood.
Rom, chief science officer, him, his sister, nope. medical officer, Elijah
Cord. This is fine.
And the ship's counselor is Dax. So, I had no idea this was actually a part of it. And yes, I picked, Lieutenant, the only other black chick on the original Star Trek series. This is the, frozen out in a way, the USS Bubba Truck. There we go. Avoid hazards, track process, and I get awards. Great. I've assigned some of our keenest science officers to the Bubba Truck as we begin our voyage. Great. So what does this mean? Heck if I know. And this is kind of wild because basically it's just like a storyline. It's like just an ever-ending Instagram, and you read a lot and don't care. So I'm going to get out of here, and I'm going to get back into these and just work through my daily missions. How about that? So this looks like a Klingon warship. So I'm gonna, that's true. Great, fantastic. So Worf, of course, is Klingon, bird of prey. One of his commanders gone rogue. They're using their bird of prey to hunt Federation's vessels, and you gotta stop them. So I'm getting in this battle. Don't really know what I'm doing, but here we go. So I'm on the left. This is my ship. And all I'm supposed to do is fight. I'm okay with that. And I'm basically, which is rare, that I would be able, a lone ship, a Federation ship, would be able to kick the butt of a Klingon bird of prey. How crazy is that? And when I went on auto, it only took me 20 seconds to beat them, so I'm pretty happy about that. Don't want to do this one. Yeah, sure. It'll be my last one. And I think the whole premise of this particular game is to work your way through each one of the missions before you move on to other things, because that'll give you rewards when you actually do. Let me back up. That'll give you rewards when you actually have to do these particular types of missions. So I need an android. Oops. But I can't assign anybody. So I basically, here we go. she's resourceful and crafty. Romulan. I ain't got no Romulan. I'm sitting here tripped out. Nope. Because none of these, so I have to go back to, how do I get back? Interesting. Have no idea how to play that. So I need to figure out how I can release my crew so I can basically use
which
them.
Means a war could be our only hope.
Because what I found, though, even though I don't want him to be that necessary, I have to. Okay, I think I did release them, so let's go back to not that one. Let's see if it'll let me do it this time. Neutral zone, Romulans, we gotta stop them. Even though in the Star Trek verse, their world has been destroyed. And they have, because of the nebula and supernova, the sun went supernova, and how, and they've actually now. And how they've now joined back because the Vulcans and the Romulans are actually one and the same. So how cool is that? And this is like the premise of the game. You basically create your away team with the skills that they tell you, and then you actually can be successful in these missions. It's pretty cool. I'm gonna go back because I think I need Tom. Okay. An android astrophysicist. Chick, I like her a lot. Let's see if this will work. Really? So what I'm thinking, maybe Paris 7.
Understood.
And Cisco?
It'll be fun.
Let's try this again. And it kills me that Tom Paris has a higher diplomatic standing than Cisco, and I don't know what I did in the beginning of the game to make that happen.
I will comply.
It is Tom. Need somebody with scientific 36, both Data and 7. Stamets is 37. Even Saru is 37. All of them are higher. But what does Saru offer? Seven is 38, and she also has higher.
I will adapt.
And Data, I need somebody I can fight.
It'll be fun.
No, damn it. I'm not going to be able to finish it because... it's a Marquee Raider. I wish I... I need to equip my crew.
I'm going to. I may need a doctor.
And I just keep... I'll just start over if I can't... See, it ain't stupid. It's just that... None of these fools... helpful. I have to go back. What is going on? Very simple enough. Crew.
Understood.
Do I upgrade her? Level up. Engineering in 38. So it looks like the regular,
Understood.
Seven may be more helpful. Science, diplomacy, no. Maverick. You can't fight though. He's telepathic.
Vulcans never bluff.
And Tom, he's at the top. Try this again. And regular.
Acknowledged.
It's really weird to, I guess, to have regular Borg and
acknowledged,
because they have two different types of things or skill sets. And as Seven of Nine returns to more the human Borg, that's the crazy thing. Seriously? Not gonna work either. I just wasted a whole bunch of level ups on homegirl. That's annoying. Why not? Absolutely have geneticist, Vulcan, empath. Did I have a trill? I thought I had a trill.
Tried to warn you.
No, she's not. My bad. She is not.
Vulcans never bluff.
And none of these motherfuckers can fight. That's the thing that kills me. I really need Cisco. And I need the doctor. This sucks. The people that have the best, like, from diplomacy.
I'm going to. I may need a doctor.
Cisco.
Which means a war.
And Poe.
Could be our only hope.
Kind of do it. You know? Basically level all of them up. I don't know how to do that. Damn it. And this is another one, too, where you can send them on away missions, and then they can actually, it's a different way to level them up unless they're already maxed out. Like, for example, I'm going to use her.
Which means a war could be our only hope.
And I'll just burn them. Yeah, no. Take that away. Take it away. Nope, not ruthless enough. Absolutely not ruthless enough.
Acknowledged.
Nope. How about regular?
I will comply.
Nope. Nope.
I may need a doctor.
You surely are not. These people are helpful. Maybe it's because of them too. How about let's try this? How about not gonna use her. She's not gonna help with my ability to win the why would I use these people if my likelihood of success is not like her for some reason? Her 7 and Burnham? Just as an aside note, Burnham and Detmer are on the USS Discovery. They're actually good friends. Her and the Nigerian, also lieutenant. They're both, Detmer is the female pilot. I don't know where this character Poe comes from. She's Bajoran, but I've never seen her actually on DS9 or remember her from any of the episodes from Star Trek. Deep Space Nine, so go figure. I'm gonna use one of my dilithium to basically speed up. Am I successful? Yes. Because I get Fireside Stories, I get some more power-ups, that's pretty cool. And yes, when you basically use, and they are successful, that is how you basically increase, I guess it seems like it increases the standing of the individual characters. So he's actually already on the mission. I don't really want to use him that much. I do like her. And crap, that sucks ass. Can't stand him. He's just like the Bashir character.
I'm going to.
He makes me mad. Nope. And it also kind of forces you to use the least likely character. So what I'm thinking is whoever created this particular game, they were obviously really into this minor character, Tom Paris. Blows my mind.
Vulcans never bluff.
Can't even get a Vulcan up in that piece. Let me take her out and see if that would make a difference. Baytor, nope. Only 18% positive if I actually, wow. Okay. I'll do that all day long. So I have to have him on in order to basically win the, or to have success in the away mission. I have to select people that I really don't want to select. And they basically acquire schematics, basic awards. I get to spend the Dabo wheel. And I get Spock if I win. And nope. Let's see. Orion Syndicate. I'm not getting Bashir. So, what is this? Oh, I get a recoupler. Great. Engineering device. Whole Star Trek world. It's kind of crazy. Included is the games. Ugh. Okay. She's only one above Tom Paris, Poe. And somebody that can fight more than Sisko. I can't have him because I have to have...
I'm going to. I may need a doctor.
still need the kelpium, right? And none of them can... Shit. He can kind of fight, but not really. Need Cisco.
Which ends a war.
Can't.
Could be our only hope.
No. Damn it. No. Oops. And what kills me is the Klingon vessel would never turn its back to Starfleet. So, again, I don't understand how to play this. So, there you go. Has never suffered such a blow. I will see. Now, revenge. You can join the battle. None of them. Shit. Alright. I'm gonna try this one more time and then I'm gonna have to order food because I'm starving. Let's see. Definitely this dude. And then, Cisco?
I'm not Picard.
Maybe. They're all wimps. And that's where I'm going to end this section. I'm hungry. A little hangry too. And wouldn't you know it, this is how I'm going to start out this section of the podcast. Star Trek Corner. That is the introduction to Deep Space Nine by Dennis McCarthy. This is, I think this is the remake, the main title, because this is from season four. I have been, personally, I'm really in love with a lot of the ships from the series. I follow a Instagram account called Ships of Star Trek, and the artist renditions of all of these ships and the potential to add them. Once I start playing it again, I look forward to seeing these ships on the video game or any upcoming spinoff of the series. One of these ships, the Intrepid, which is a Nova class, is one I selected for my favorites. There is a USS Phobos, which is a Lochner class ship. And I don't think the Instagram post does it justice, so I've actually added it to a snippet of it for this great YouTube account that actually recreates introductions like Space Dock, etc., using CGI effects. Oh, I wish if I were that talented. And then I am probably going to next week watch the Voyager series again, or just certain highlights, because it's the Voyager, which is another spinoff that actually premiered a year after Deep Space Nine, because this particular ship was on its way to Deep Space Nine when an incident, they call it the Caretaker Incident, pushed them millions and millions of light years away from Earth. And if they did not find like some wormhole or something to actually get them back, it was going to take them 20 years to get back. But I do believe in the last season that it
that it they did finally get communications back with old Crazy Barkley, and somehow they basically got pulled back before it took them too long and before everybody died in the original ship. It's really wild because I also had forgotten that these two spinoffs were on two different networks, and they believe that the network for Voyager did such a great job of push that it hurt the ratings of DS9. However, they still did not get as many viewers as DS9 because maybe some of the promotion was whack. But in spite of that, they highlighted one of my favorite ships, besides the Jem'Hadar, the species, because they're warriors. I think they were even more deadly, in my opinion, even more than the Klingons. But the little ship that could, the USS Defiance, specifically designed to fight the Dominion and the Jem'Hadar. I actually have a t-shirt. I have a small model of it. It's a great, great ship. And this gets me to the series, the spinoff that I highlighted this week, DS9. The whole premise of the show itself was that it took place on a deep space station that was owned and run by the Cardassians when they subjugated the Bajorans, but it was then taken over by the Federation because of the wormhole that connected the Alpha Quadrant with the Gamma Quadrant. The wormhole itself was guarded by the Bajorans considered gods, wormhole aliens, and ended up that Sisko found out that his mother was one of these gods, and there by default he was one of them. However, I digress. The whole premise of that is having a black main character anchor that particular episode. He went from a commander to a captain, and then before he basically leaned into his calling, because Sisko, Avery Brooks, was the emissary. He basically wrestled with this role, having one foot in Starfleet and being the emissary of for a religion. And it was really annoying that the Kai Wynn hated it because she thought she should have been selected, but she ends up getting killed. At some point, her and old Gold Dukat with the Paw Raids, it was a very great episode. But in the episodes that I actually looked at this week, was one of the highest rated ones. It was called Pale Moonlight, set in the 24th century, Deep Space Nine, follows the adventures of the crew of the fictional space station. Avery Brooks, or Captain Sisko, because he's captain at this time, works with the former spy, Elam Garrick, the dressmaker, but to basically trick the Romulans into entering the war with the Dominion. It was one of the series' best episodes, and it was also pretty sticky because Sisko had to go against ethics and the moral fortitude of Starfleet officer to do Cardassian treachery to get them a new ally. It was easy for the for Garrick to do it because the Cardassians are just as slimy as the Romulans, but he was willing to do what it was necessary to get the manpower. Because the Jem'Hadar, basically they're clones, and they could crank them out a dime a dozen. There's also one episode where there is a Jem'Hadar that they find in one of the partially destroyed ships. And they watch him basically grow from baby all the way up to adulthood and fighter within days. And he can't, because he's basically genetically modified just to be a fighter and to kill non-Dominion. And he couldn't go against his programming. So very interesting. Ascension being that could not go far away from, but I think that comes back because there's a group of them that get off of the white and they end up rebelling against the Dominion or against what their programming is. It's also in this series that we are introduced to the Section 31. Also, this is an episode prior to the Pale Moonlight episode called Inquisition. I don't like Julian Bashir, that particular character, so that's why I have no pictures of him in it. But I do like Section 31 and the treachery of that CIA underbelly of the government section, and even the slimy Sloan character for a multitude of reasons. Number one, I did not know that that particular episode was actually directed by Michael Dorn, who also plays Worf in DS9 and in this series. But it is how they are trying to recruit Bashir into this underbelly. I love, this is a carryover from DS9 into Discovery, because Leland, a former USS Discovery captain, he is one of the members of that particular organization, and also one of the most notorious recruits, Michelle Yeoh's character, the Empress from the Mirror Universe, or Philippa Giorgio. But there is also a whole series of books that not only surrounds, that or not only were released after every episode of DS9, but also there is a series of relaunch books that are just highlights of this particular organization. Going back, like a prelude, going back to the original series, as well as like a prequel, kind of like a Next Gen, and then of course on Voyager, then surrounding DS9. And I think, and I've added those with the links in the podcast. You can actually order them if they're not available in my on my web store, but you can also use my promo codes from Alibris and to get a percentage off of your shipment, as well as the order itself. A lot of those codes expire by the end of today, or you can actually utilize them through February. And that's how I'm going to end this week's episode of Over 40 and Unapologetically Nerdy, and I've had a blast. And I hope that you will be able to take away from this episode a love or an infatuation or just a curiosity into all that the space program and science has to offer. You find your way to one of the many spinoffs and hundreds of episodes that incorporate the Star Trek universe. I've only highlighted or spoke about two of them. Next Gen, of course, Voyager, and then the episodes on DS9. But I wish that you would also strive for other content.
At the end of the blog, I've given you some of the Section 31 books, and I hope you would be able to take advantage of the low cost on my website. But if they're not available, you can use my promo codes from Alibris.com to get a percentage off of your shipment, as well as the whole order itself. Also, I'm learning more and more about technology. I have at my disposal Logic Pro and Final Cut to not only produce great video, but to create audio, I hope. And I hope this makes it intriguing, and you will actually share this episode with others, as well as just give me a great comment. If it's non-trolly, I may actually speak about it on the episode. And I hope you've enjoyed this episode as much as I've enjoyed creating it. And thank you for listening. And I'll end this with the City of Prague Philharmonic Orchestra in titles for Star Trek V: The Final Frontier.